Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson, and because it is somehow already and yet only September, we thought it would be a good time to check in with a pal about what books you don't want to miss this fall. Barry Hardiman is NPR's books editor. Barry, hey!
Hello! Hello again. Here we are, even further into the pandemic.
I know,
and still glowing.
that's very nice of you to. I mean, I think it's just because this closet is a little stuffy, but I mean, well call
it's
it a
great
win,
to
know.
Be able to control our own lighting, isn't it? That's the thing we didn't have in the pre-pandemic world. So I wish I wasn't in a basement, but what are you going to do?
You look great. You look
Thanks.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you.
So before we actually talk about books, I thought it would be kind of fun to ask you about the controversy that is what actual fall is. Like, you know, we're in the first week of September now. Like, it's almost Labor Day. Does that mean it counts, or do we wait till September 21st, or is it, you know, like, what do you, where do you fall on this?
I have to say, I lived in LA for 2 years, and which I adored LA, but the passing of seasons makes me remember time. Like, otherwise I'd be like, how old am I? I mean, I know how old I am, but like, you know what I mean? Like, how old are my kids? Like, it's just like a thing that marks like, okay, here we are again. You get another chance. And without seasons, I was kind of like, wait a second. What's like, you just the days run together. And especially, you know, because of the pandemic, I'm grateful for fall.
Yes. Anything to demarcate time, I suppose, is just like extra useful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's true.
So when I sent you an email to ask you about fall books, you were like, I have a fun rhyme we're going to do as a conceit for this episode. Will you explain to the people what is about to happen?
So I get asked for book recommendations all the time, and you have to sort of be like, well, what do you like? And what kind of reader are you? Mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I love to have some kind of conceit, some frame around what to do it. So I often do the old wedding rhyme of something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And the reason is I feel like it, you can get a lot of out of it. Like, you know, you can get something that's just out that you might not have heard. You can get something old that you might not have remembered. You can get something that you wouldn't have read without somebody helping you. This is the something borrowed. And something blue I define differently every time, and I will tell you when we get there.
I have to say, my first thought when you say something blue is that it's going to be super profane, but I don't think that's the direction you're going.
Oh my God, I love how you're thinking of it.
It's like, this is where we get the kinky stuff.
Oh my God, I can't wait to come back with like something blue. Love it. Oh my God.
Next time.
Good to know. That's a thank you. You've actually really,
yeah,
that's,
you know,
super helpful. Yeah. Yeah. It's rare that somebody is trying to make me more filthy. So I'm like, really this is very impressive. Impressive.
Oh, yes, you have
Greta.
Permission, Barry. Welcome to Nerdette.
Yes. I love it here.
Okay. So let's start with something old.
Okay, so something old that I picked up again during the pandemic, because it is so completely a different world, and I think maybe we talked about this before, like the idea of being out of this one is actually really great.
Yeah.
This is a book called The Crimson Petal and the White. It is by Michelle Faber, and it came out maybe like 20 years ago. This is a sort of this was like the most popular book of the summer in like 2002. So it was a very well-known book, but sometimes those books kind of fade and we forget about them. Mm-hmm. And so this one is, I remember reading a review of this, or maybe the person who gave it to me was like, this is the book that Dickens would have written if he could have been really dirty. And this book is so brilliant. It is about, it tells the story of a prostitute and this rich man named William. The prostitute's name is Sugar. And the sort of advantage to being in Dickensian London with a prostitute and somebody who can say it all is that they say it all. It's like, you know, you get really, truly the sights and the sounds and the smells and the yuck and the ooh and the all that stuff. But you also have this, Sugar is just a character that, do you ever have a character in your head that you're kind of like, huh, I wonder what she's doing. Like, I actually, like, literally, I'm like, I wonder what Sugar's doing. And, like, I do this with, like, Kim Wexler on Better Call Saul. Like, this is, but this is, like, a completely different thing. Like, Sugar is someone I think about all the time. And she's
I love this
odd, thin, weird-looking prostitute who has who I believe has eczema. And is just beloved by the men of the city because of she's so interesting and smart and other reasons that I can't, I really probably shouldn't say on Nerdette, but even Nerdette. But she ends up, so this older man, this rich man, William, she ends up being the governess to his child. And I won't tell you how that happens. Huh. And then the story of her relationship in that house is just this amazing mystery. It has an ending that I've never gotten over. I like would love to know more. I think about it all the time. It is rollicking. You won't know what happens next. You will be so in love with these characters. You will be like, yuck. You will be like, woo. It'll be so – it's a great book. And it is a doorstop. So I recognize that like it's an epic and whatever. But it's fall, guys. Like where are you going? Do you have a heat lamp?
Right?
No.
Yeah. Come on. And remind us what the Crimson Petal and the White?
The Crimson Petal and the White.
Nice. Okay, so something new. What are you thinking?
Okay, so this book, which I now realize has something in common with Crimson Petal and the White, but I can't tell you because I don't want to give it away. This is a book called Luster, which just came out, and it's by Raven Leilani. And maybe you've read like one of the great reviews of it, which have appeared in many places.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of attention.
If you haven't, keep it that way. I highly recommend picking up this book the way I did, which is just blind, did not know anything about it. Because when you read it and you don't know what's going to happen next, it reads like a highly literary Gillian Flynn. It is so smart and so interesting. It's about a young woman named Edie. She begins an affair with an older man,
right? Yeah,
exactly. And she comes to live in his house, and it comes to find out that she has something in common with the members of his household. And I really actually don't want to say more because it is actually kind of wonderful to come to blind. I do want to say that this is a book that the main character is a young Black woman. Her observations about race and the way that it works, particularly because she works in publishing, is just so fascinating and chilling and funny. And again, this is a book I think that's gotten a lot of attention because the sex is written both very explicitly, but also really smartly. Like you're like, oh, bodies, that's, I have one too. but also recognizably. And this is just a great yarn, and it is so beautifully written. And I can't wait to go back and read it when I've forgotten more about it. You know what I mean?
I love that. That's such a beautiful sentiment. I actually read the first couple pages of it, and I have a very low tolerance for self-destructive young women stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I got really nervous. Like even those first couple pages, I was just like, I don't know. And the writing was beautiful. I mean, there was that line about like, what is it? Like gerbils under her skin or something. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's so evocative. It's gorgeous. Yes. But like when it came to the actual plot, I was just like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this.
This is self-destructive. This is all of those things. It is, I will say, like, there's something kind of wonderful about being inside the skin of somebody who would do these things because it's interesting to sort of try them on psychologically. It's also, I'm really old, so I'm very far away from all my self-destructive things, except for all of the chips I ate and still have in my teeth. But, you know, so I think like this is a time in my life I remember these experiences, I remember, you know, but I also am a different, you know, I'm a young white woman, all of these different, right. There's something about the perspective from which I read it that was also really sort of interesting.
That's anyway, cool.
I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Okay. Obviously. What's your borrowed? What'd you borrow?
Okay. So here is one. I don't know if I'm sure everyone is familiar with Lupita Reads. She is a bookstagrammer and books blogger. Yeah. You know, I often scroll through her Instagram just to make sure that I'm not missing something. And she reads widely, and I love her recommendations. And she recommended a book called Native Country of the Heart. It is by Jerry Moraga. And this is a book, it's a memoir, and this is a book about a complicated parent. I love a book about a complicated parent. I am a complicated parent, now that you mention it. This one is sort of in the tradition of like Vivian Gornick, Fierce Attachments, or even K.S.A. Lehman's new book that was new last year called Heavy, where there is a difficult parent who has really become this pillar or center of a person's life. Now, the parent that we're talking about is her mother, Elvira, who is a mostly uneducated Mexican immigrant, working class. They live in a small town outside of Los Angeles. And she is this complicated and powerful person whom the world is against in all of these ways, in terms of her race, the education level, her being poor. And she's mad about it. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Being her child is not that awesome.
I could see that. Yeah.
But also, clearly, I now realize, having read her other stuff, that clearly was also a real instigation of, you know, of Cherry Moraga's genius as well. This is just this sort of interesting way of like watching a woman who we would not know the details about. You know, she's not famous. She's truly underseen. And sort of learning that this that her life was lived in protest against these conditions and what that led to. And, you know, I know people who have difficult relationships with their parents, and lots of times it's hard to put yourself in their shoes and what they went through. This is one of these things that made me really think about the people in my life who have been difficult and why they might be difficult.
Wow.
So I just love this memoir. If you loved Wild Game, which was another sort of one of these like difficult mother books, I really like this is a book for you. And it's slim and it just goes by really quickly as well. So it's just I highly recommend.
That sounds great. What about Something Blue? That doesn't mean super
well, I'm glad because the first ones I recommended have so much sex.
I know. There you go. Yeah, there's some. Yeah. So
well,
we got
good, because now we're going to church, okay? Because this is, I'm going to recommend some Marilynne Robinson here.
Yes.
I'm taking blue to mean, sometimes I do blue like sad, depressed. But in this way, I think of something blue, like something really moving, something with
that just
depth.
Like makes your heart swell.
Exactly. Yeah. And in this case, this is a book that moved me to be a different human. Like I every time I read Marilynne Robinson, I come out the other side a different person.
Marilynne Robinson, who most people probably know because she wrote Gilead. That's kind of her most famous, I think, book.
And Housekeeping is her first book, the only standalone one. Gilead and Home and Lila are part of this, and now Jack are part of a group of novels, which all with all the same characters. They are so they all take as a different. Their central thesis is a different sort of subject. And in this case, I think Robinson she's always writing about God and our relationship to spirituality and why we are here. In this case, she is also writing about race. And so this book comes at a time that is just perfect. This is the story of Jack Botten, who is the son, the sort of ne'er-do-well son in Gilead of Jack Botten, who is the one of the preachers that these stories tell. And Jack is white, and he is in love with Della, who is black. And we already know from another book how this relationship ends, and so I'm not going to tell you. But they are living in segregated post-World War II St. Louis. So there are things against them. The first, maybe, I don't know, third, fourth of this novel takes place in a graveyard. And it is such a moving exploratory of people who fall in love and why they fall in love. But it is also peppered with not just these ideas about who we are and the skin we're in, but also with like there were just so many things. Like I would just put the book down and be like, I got to think about that. I got to get another book off my shelf. I got to do a Google search. Like it was so rich and I could read it again and again. This is not one that you have to forget to go back to. You know, you're going to get something different from it every time.
So whole time. That's
exactly.
So
I just love it.
Okay. In just a minute, I will give some of my picks.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
I thought that I was too lazy to fit my recommendations into this constraint that you provided, but I think I can do it.
Oh, I'm so excited. I was so excited.
Okay, so I'm going to start with something old, which is still kind of new, but I think it's a great time. One thing I had talked to you about maybe trying to do was some like back to school notions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And something that I'm really excited to read that totally reminds me of like AP English class or, you know, college lit courses is Beowulf.
There is a new translation of
Beowulf by Maria Devana Headley. It's a translation. It's not a feminist retelling. She actually has also done a retelling.
Yes, it's great.
But I think it's fair to call this a feminist translation. And I think it fits in, you know, the Odyssey was translated by a woman for the first time last year.
Yeah.
I believe the Iliad is coming out this, or maybe it's the Aeneid. I always mix those up.
There was an Aeneid by a lady, by a woman a couple of years ago.
Aeneid. So yeah, I just think it's really cool to see these old texts that we have revered for so long reexamined through a modern feminist lens. And I am super excited to check out this new Beowulf because I think it's just going to bring a lot to the story that I found, you know, that did not resonate with me as an 18-year-old. Let's just
I can say I think she is brilliant. I loved the retelling that she did too, which was, it's not a perfect novel, but it's like a interesting thing.
Yeah.
And it is to see these, you're right, to see these texts reinterpreted by people who have like historically been marginalized in the text and in the world is like, it's like you get to read it all over again. It's like you don't know what happens.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's super exciting. I'm kind of obsessed with it. Something new. Let's say The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. Have you read any Victoria Schwab?
Right? I haven't. No.
Oh my gosh.
I need to get
in on it. So she writes YA as Victoria Schwab. Her adult stuff, she's V.E. Schwab. And she writes a lot of different kinds of like sci-fi and fantasy. She's like, I feel like she's like barely 30 and has written a dozen books. Like she is just so prolific and she's totally honest about her anxiety disorder. You know, like she's just one of those people who's like, oh my God.
Yes.
She's been working on The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue for quite some time now. And I just love her so much. I thought her Darker Shade of Magic series was like one of the best fantasy series I've read since Harry Potter.
Oh my God, this is so great. I'm looking for that.
And it's so much more inclusive and exciting and sexy. And I don't know much about The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I tend to avoid reading synopsis if I can help it because I'm spoiler averse. Mm-hmm. But I believe it involves someone living over and over again in a beautiful love story. And I think it's going to be a little different than the rest of her stuff.
Sold.
And I just cannot wait to dive in. Right?
Ditto.
My Something Borrowed is one I also have not read it yet, but I'm really excited about it. And it's called Hamnet. Have you heard about this one?
I've read it. It's.
Did you love it?
It is wonderful. It's also a really good pandemic book.
Yeah. So it's by Maggie O'Farrell. I'm counting it as Something Borrowed because I watched a interview between Cersei author Madeline Miller and Cloud Atlas author David Mitchell, who are like two of my favorite writers.
100%.
And they just like, they just fawned over each other and each other's work the entire time. It was like such a beautiful thing to witness from my living room couch during a pandemic.
Yes.
And David, and he blurbed it. Like he's quoted on the front. I think he calls it luminous. But he just raved about Hamnet. He said it was one of the best books he's read this year. And I'm so excited to dive into that.
It is great. It's also very really interesting. Like chewable. Like it's slim. So it'll just be like a really wonderful like 2 weeks of your life that, you know what I mean?
Perfect.
It's not going to take.
Yeah.
Like the weather will cool, but not all the way.
It's not going to be like blizzard outside before I finish.
No, it's a wonderful book. It's really inventive.
Oh, good. So I think my Something Blue
is going to be.
Well, so I'm going to follow your definition of blue, actually.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a Something Blue. Okay,
no.
No,
no, I'm
okay.
going to do a, like a moody murder mystery.
Oh,
because. Fab. I feel like now is a great time to read things that are like a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
And noir-ish. Tana French has a new book coming out, which is like always an amazing occasion, I feel like, because her stuff is just phenomenal. Most of her books are part of a Dublin murder squad. They take place in Ireland. And this one is not part of that series, but I've heard it is still excellent.
I love her standalones. I love the ones that are. I love them all. She can write
a
mystery.
Isn't she incredible?
She's an Irish lady who knows from like noirish, exciting things. And great character.
Barry!
This is so fun.
Can we just keep hanging out?
Yes.
Forever?
I mean, it's almost...
What are you doing?
It's almost cocktail hour. So, I mean, in the pandemic, it kind of is.
Maybe our next conceit should be like books paired with cocktails.
Let's do it.
Okay, great. We're going to do it.
Cocktails
awesome.
And books.
Yes.
Because I feel like I know the book that tastes like an old fashioned. I'm not gonna give it away,
oh
but I already
God.
Know.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, I drink a lot of old fashioned.
I was like, I can't tell if that means I need to read more books or drink more old fashions.
The great news is maybe it means both for everyone.
Win, win, win. Man, is Barry Hardiman not like one of the most delightful humans ever? She totally is. She totally is. All right, that's it for this week. Hey, if you're a reader and you have not yet participated in Nerdette's book club, it is not too late. Our book for this month is called The Shadow King. It's by Maza Mengistu. Tune in for a chat with the author coming up on Friday the 11th, and then you can hear a panel discussion 2 weeks after that. The show is produced by me and Justin Bull. Our executive producer is Brendan Banaszak. Do your homework!
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.